The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 590. And this week, we have the whole crew. But first, this is your co-host, Danny. And also, we have Pete.
What's up?
And also, Paris.
Hey, what's up? I'm only on for a few minutes, so let's just jump right into it. Let's not waste no time.
Wow, can I do a little introduction?
No, do it after I leave. Let's go. Let's talk about this Microsoft trying to slickly put out a new console and act like it's an upgraded Xbox One. Let's go. I'm ready to talk.
All right, let's go. We're going to go straight to the point because Paria only has like a few minutes to record and stuff. So earlier today, Engadget posted an interview with one of the top execs over there at Microsoft, Aaron Greenberg. And the title, let me look for it real quick because this is hilarious. You could tell this is like a whole
Microsoft says
article.
This might be the last console generation.
It is. He's right. He is right. But let's not get it twisted. Scorpio is not an iteration of the Xbox One. This is the Xbox 2 or whatever you want to call it. Basically, they're going to allow Xbox One games to be played on the Scorpio, and they'll do the whole Scorpio will be backwards compatible to the 360. I get it. But If you want to play these games the way they're meant to be played, you better go get your ass a Scorpio. That's all I'm saying, because you will be highly disappointed trying to play whatever games come out holiday 2017 on an Xbox One, because they will pale in comparison to what you're going to see on a Scorpio, which, in my opinion, is Sony's doing it differently. Sony is just kind of just doing a little bump. We're going to get you into 4K. We'll throw some extra lighting on there. Microsoft's going all out. So when I read this article, I saw a lot of marketing speak. I saw a lot of let's not piss people off next holiday, because really we're giving you this. We're kicking off the next generation now. That's what they're doing with Scorpio.
But see, Paris, and the listeners are listening out there, And I believe P also mentioned this. When Paris went to an event that Microsoft invited us to, I think back in February or March around there, Phil Spencer talked about this. They're going beyond consoles. Yes. This is not a way that, okay, this is going to be the last console and that's it. No more consoles in the future. They're thinking about beyond the whole console stuff. You know, now you can play games on Windows. Now, basically, you have a choice. So many options. It's like, I think that's what Aaron was trying to talk about.
No, I agree. And trust me, I'm 100% for what Microsoft is doing. I'm glad they're doing this because I look at my PC and I smile even more because I can definitely stay on that side. I won't have to get a Scorpio unless I so choose to. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're saying all our accessories, everything will stay the same. We'll move forward as we iterate on hardware. I'm all for iterating on hardware. If something better than Scorpio comes out in 2019, why hold it back? Put it out. There's no reason not to, right? Put it out. If Microsoft can create a better console in 2019 than the one that they're going to put out in 2017 with Scorpio, put it out. It's my choice if I want to play it. But at the same time, like I'm saying, with Xbox One, Microsoft is fixing a problem that they made in 2013. Let's not get this twisted. Scorpio is a problem. So it's the wolf. You just called the wolf. The wolf is coming in to fix the problem. That's what Scorpio is for. And I like the direction that they're going. I'm happy to see it. It's going to push Sony to do better, which in turn is going to push Microsoft to do better, too. You know what I mean? We got a real competition now. That's what I'm happy to see. I'm happy to see whatever the hell Sony's going to put out September 7th. I'm talking fast because I got to go. But I'm happy to see whatever Sony's putting out on September 7th because whatever they do, then Microsoft needs to make sure that Scorpio is that much better when it comes out holiday 2017. Whatever they decide to do with VR. Because look, if you read it, they're basically saying, we're not supporting VR on Xbox One. If you want VR, you better go get a Scorpio. That's where our VR solution is going to live, right? So they're going to have to knock it out of the park or whatever they do with VR to top whatever PlayStation VR is going to be, right? Whatever they do with the Neo, etc. So to me, ever since E3, ever since they made that announcement, game on. This is the real competition now. This is the real quote-unquote console generation. But I do agree with Aaron Greenberg is saying across the board. It's not about generations anymore. Your hardware is going to get better, yes, but we're not going to leave games behind anymore. If you love playing you some freaking Sunset Overdrive, well, guess what? You can play Sunset Overdrive on Scorpio until your heart's content. You and Danny can play it together because you'll be the only
person playing. Yes, we could even hold hands if you want.
So with Danny being all happy and his heart's all going pitter-patter, what happened to your four-console dream?
My four-console dream?
Yeah.
Pete, it's out there already. Xbox One, Xbox One S, Scorpio, and PC. That's four.
I wish Cicero Holmes from Spawn on Me was here because he say the same nonsense that Danny does, trying to, whatever. You can dream. Just dream, but it's not real.
Now, on the real now, what is it then for Xbox One S, Paris and Pete? Do you see this as also a bump?
What do you mean with 1S? What do you mean by bump?
Because you said that everything starts with Scorpio.
Yes.
But what about the 1S? Isn't better?
The 1S is the half measure. The 1S was to get rid of the mistake of the hardware that they put out with the original Xbox One and get it into a streamlined solution that, for the budget gamer, makes a lot of sense, right? Because we've been saying before, when holiday 2017 comes, you'll be able to get that 1S for probably $199. $250 at the most. It's going to be a great value holiday 2017. 4K Blu-ray player. You can stream Netflix in 4K. It has a slight power bump from the original Xbox One. It's small. It's quiet. The whole thing is a sexy piece of hardware. Don't get me wrong, because I every day I halfway look at one and go, should I get it? So this was to fix the problem of 20. This was the half measure to fix the problem of 2013 to just make the Xbox One itself look more desirable compared to the PlayStation 4. But as far as the answering the questions about power and 4K gaming and leading the next generation of console gaming, that's what Scorpio is about. And in my opinion, PlayStation knows that too. They're not competing with Scorpio. I think they realize that, and that's why Neo is coming out now. If they were truly going to get into an arms race with Microsoft over Scorpio, Neo would be coming out next year. It would not be coming out this year. You know
so if this is the case, what happens with Sony then. So let's take the focus away from Microsoft with this announcement, this semi announcement. What happens with Sony? Do they continue to just put out a console with no real opponent in the sales race?
Well, that's what I mean.
And call it PlayStation 5.
But that's the point. They've won this round. Microsoft has conceded this round, and what Sony is saying, all right, we're going to let you put out your Scorpio. We're going to reevaluate them because again, they've now the precedent has been set. There's no more rules on you got to wait 5, 6, 7 years to put out new consoles, right? Who's to say we don't see a PlayStation 5 in 2019? Who's to say that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They can start talking. I mean, they can do whatever they want. So they can be like, we're leading in sales now. We'll keep the PlayStation 4 around. We'll drop it down to $200. It's selling like gangbusters. We got indies on board. We got all the third parties on board. Neo is our half measure to then evaluate what Microsoft is doing with Scorpio. Boom, PlayStation 5. Because think about it. If they put out Neo in 2016, if they drop PlayStation 5, let's just say holiday 2018, are you going to be mad? That's 2 years. The precedent's been set now to be able to do this kind of stuff, right? They could do it.
Yeah.
2018, 2019. Then Microsoft answers. We're in an arms race now. This is an arms race on the console side to iterate hardware. And the key is the marketing from both sides is going to be, we're not leaving you behind. Any game that you buy in between, you can play on whatever hardware that you currently have. You don't have to get the new hardware until you choose to get the new hardware. That's the new model now. They're going with the phone model. It's the same with iPhones and Android phones.
I was going to say that. This whole thing reminds me of Apple, the whole iPhone. Yeah, you know, the new iPhone, 4S and 5 and all that stuff. So
I mean, think about it. In my house right now, let's just use this for an example. In my house right now, my son has an iPhone 5. My daughter has a 5S. And my wife and I both have the 6S, right? So we all have the same apps. Our iPads all the same apps. One got a mini, I got the Air. One, you know what I mean? It's different.
And it's still the same experience.
It's still the same experience. Maybe one slightly better than the other because the hardware is a little bit better or whatever. The camera is a little better. You know what I mean? So the pictures on mine look clearer than it might look on my son's phone. But the point is, you're still locked into the Apple ecosystem. At no matter what piece of hardware that you have. And that's what both these companies are doing now. We want to get you in our ecosystem and you're going to stay in it because that's where you're buying all your games. Whether you get the new hardware we got today, or you get it tomorrow, you're eventually going to get it. That's what they're looking at. And it makes sense. I'm 100% for it. I'm happy to see this.
Man, next month, September 7th, is going to be a very interesting day, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very interesting. And for those who are listening, we're planning to have a full roundtable discussion. Everything that happened during the Sony press conference is happening next month in New York City, which rumors are saying that they're going to finally announce the PlayStation 4 Neo. Now, here's my prediction. Paris, Pete, let me know what you guys think. I see this from a mile away. I see... Okay. Let me start with the whole Miss Cleo introduction first.
Hey, darling. This is certified psychic Miss Leo. Here are Gamer Tag Radio's predictions.
Okay, now we're back. Very quick. I see Rockstar Games announcing maybe a new game at the PlayStation meeting, PlayStation press conference.
Nah. I don't see it happening because they've already said it's a technical showcase. They're not talking about games. They're talking VR and Neo.
Wow, you killed my whole dream.
Yeah,
I agree with Pete. If they were going to do it, they do it at PlayStation Experience.
Yeah.
Wow, you guys completely killed my dream, man.
Dream.
I'm trying to dream here.
You got what? 3 weeks. Dream for 3 weeks.
Now I'm gonna dream all day.
now let me say this real quick before I go, because I gotta go, and I know you guys are gonna get into Titanfall and all that. I haven't even played it yet, but you know we got Titanfall downloaded. Gears 4. So I've watched a couple of interviews from Gamescom. I watched the 4K video, and I have to say maybe I was wrong just a little bit. about what I said last week. And
no, you were totally
Twitter,
wrong.
The one dude on Twitter that was like, I need to take a chill pill and whatever. That it was hilarious. But anyways, if you look at the tech specs that came out for Gears 4, if you look at what they recommend for 4K, that is my exact PC to a T. The CPU, the GPU, memory, whole thing. So that's right there for 4K. So I'm in. I'm in for 4K on Gears 4. I'm all good. But I got to say, watch some of those interviews from Gamescom. Maybe they are getting back to the roots of the original Gears, a little more to survival horror. Some of the videos I saw seem to lean towards that. So I hope I was wrong from last week, because I want Gears 4 to be the hotness. I'm excited for it. That's it.
Paris, are you going to play Forza Horizon 4K also?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
For sure, because I guess, what is it? That's the first one, right? Is there a Recore?
No, Recore first, then Forza.
Then Forza, then Gears. And they're all Xbox Anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. You're fine, man. You're good.
Oh, Pete, no, I'm good.
You're
hey.
Fine too, Pete. You're good.
Oh, yeah. But 1080 is going to be beasting.
Yeah, but it goes back, like you just mentioned, that Phil Spencer keynote at the Xbox Spring Showcase, because I was there. I heard what he said, and I knew right then. I'll go, oh, I see what they're doing. They're opening up the PC, and then E3 bared it out. So, I'm very excited to see where Microsoft Xbox is going with gaming in the future, because, like we're really talking about more at E3, but I'll just repeat it again. They're taking hardware out of the equation. Play on whatever hardware the hardware you want to bring to the party is fine. If you're on an original Xbox One, if you're on the One S, the Scorpio, or you build your own PC, you're good to play their games. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's all that should matter at this point. Who cares?
I think that before you leave, Paris, I think that Quantum Break was kind of like a little test.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They messed up and they know they messed up.
Yeah.
But now they're going 100% all out with all these new games that's coming out, and they don't want to make that same mistake what happened with Quantum Break.
Yeah, agreed. Because the one interview I watched from like IGN Live or whatever, they had the one guy from Coalition on there, not Rob Ferguson, it was someone else, but he was talking actual PC specs and features. Like, I forget, there's 27 different configurations you can do for Gears 4 on the PC. Just stuff like that. That lets me know they're taking it serious, is my point. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you said, Quantum Break was kind of caught in the middle of them making this change, and it didn't truly work. But, you know, we'll see when Forza Horizon and Recore and then Gears comes out, how serious they're going to take this and integrate it into, you know, Windows 10 and obviously Xbox Live and all that stuff. Like I said, I'm excited for it, because, look, they may screw up a little bit more here. You know, there's going to be some bumps in the road. But by the time Scorpio comes out, I think they're going to have everything ironed out. And you get Scorpio if you want, get your high-end PC if you want. The point is, you'll be able to play all of Microsoft's games in 4K, and you can play together on Xbox Live. It's going to be great. I'm excited.
It's exciting, man. Look, it's exciting to be a gamer right now, man. There's so many options. You could go PC, you could go console, you could do whatever. There's so many games, man. And the cool thing about all this is that if you're, let's say, a huge Xbox Live fan, the community is going to grow even more. And there's going to be people that have never played an Xbox game, and this is going to be an opportunity for them to try it out for the first time on PC, that all they play is probably Steam, and that's it. You know, they don't need to have a gold account on Xbox. They just download it from their PC and try all these games, man. I think this is a great move, in my opinion, man. You know, I hope to see this with Sony and maybe even Nintendo take that step, man. You know, when you see things like this, industry is going to grow. There's going to be more competition, and the gamers are going to benefit out of all this. We win, you know. So, I love this move. Go for it, Paris. You can leave now.
Get out.
All right, I'm out. The secret is in the purple crayon.
Drop the mic. Drop the mic. You're good.
Yeah, the secret is in the purple crayon. I'm out. See you later.
All right. So now, P, I could do the introduction. That was like the longest introduction ever. All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag. Listen to our past episodes over there. And also, you can give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or go to speakpipe.com/GamertagRadio. You could also send messages through there using your phone or PC. Also, email us, fanmail@GamertagRadio.com.
Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Check it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Today, shout out to EA Games, Respawn, the whole crew. They sent us a bunch of codes for the Titanfall 2 early access.
Technical where test. It's called a tech test. Yep. Let's be realistic here. I mean, for those that are expecting a full-on game, no, this is... I don't even know if this is a beta. This is just a
it's not even a beta. They say it's not even a beta.
Yeah, I think they said this yesterday during their EA Play Gamescom conference yesterday. Mm-hmm. This is purely a technical test to stress their servers and their network environment to see if they can load. Because remember, all they have from before really was just the Microsoft exclusive with Xbox One. Now we're talking PlayStation 4 and Xbox One jumping in, you know,
and
on
PC.
No, well, PC's not part of the tech test. It's only for the consoles.
Oh, that's not. Yeah, you're right.
They have to prepare their environment from a network perspective to make sure that, you know, if they've got enough servers spooled up, you know, if they're using Chef or what have you, can they spool up dynamic servers on the fly and because they're no longer using the power of the cloud with Azure now. They're using Networks, I believe, is the name of the company as their online service provider. So it's a learning process for everybody involved, and they want to make sure that this is as smooth as possible. I don't think anybody can expect a perfect launch. I mean, Hello Games, you know, saw that last week, right? They're inviting people to play as much as possible. I think they were saying we want millions of people to just try and jump on and play and see what the reaction is, to see if they've got the
They even said it, crash it,
kill it, destroy it. That's what they want. And honestly, at the end of the day, that's what these are designed for. So that way you can expect and anticipate the kind of load, either from a bandwidth or a compute or what have you. Mm-hmm. Perspective and say, okay, yeah, we're ready for launch. I mean, we're talking, it's what, a month and change till launch, maybe two months.
Have you downloaded it yet? I'm gonna download this after recording.
Yeah, it's part of the way there. It started. I actually started downloading it late. I got home and I actually worked late last night, so I actually took a 30 minute nap before we jumped on. So,
well, let me explain why I mentioned this very quick, because, you know, we got a bunch of codes, and I was talking to the guys, you know, with P in Paris. I'm like, man, you know, I'd rather give these codes to our listeners. So I went online to my email, and some people that sent emails through fan mail, I just selected, like, okay, let me randomly send them codes for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And I'm like, look, thank you for supporting GTR. And I sent them the codes, you know, and a lot of them were freaked out. Like, wow, I was not expecting that. And I'd rather do that than just give it to random people on Twitter, you know, that people that we know doesn't even listen to the show. I'd rather focus on our loyal listeners, you know, as a thank you. Like, look, this, I mean, we don't have hundreds and hundreds of codes, but it was a good amount. And I'm happy with the amount that we gave out, you know. So thank you for everybody that been emailing us, you know, the past, a couple of years. And especially recently, they've been sending a lot of emails asking us questions for the show. So thank you for supporting and listening to the show, man. It's awesome, man, you know. So, yeah, if you see us online, hit us up. We'll probably play some games, man, on Titanfall 2. I'm going to try out both, P. I'm going to try out the PlayStation 4.
Okay.
And also the Xbox One version. I just want to see if there's any differences. So far, I'm moving, or like, I think I'm going to pick up the PlayStation 4 version
because
I really liked the way how it looked, the way how it played, and everything during E3. So let's see how it is online at home. If it still feels the same, like gameplay wise and the controllers and everything like that, you know. So I'm gonna do that, but. A lot of things is going on. A lot of things. We're not gonna have no fan mail this episode because, you know, we're probably gonna save that for next week's episode. But that's a lot of things going on, man. Gamescom. I mean, there's no major press conferences. The only one that we thought was going to be big was EA, and we got to see it. They start off with FIFA, and I believe it was NHL. And then slowly, we finally got like Titanfall 2 and Battlefield 1, which there is going to be a demo. It's a beta, right? Not demo, a beta of Battlefield 1 later this month, at the end of this month. So right now, enjoy Titanfall 2 for this weekend. And then the following week, they're going to open it up again, the servers, on a Friday. And they're going to have a new game mode and also a new level, which they talked about this during the stream. Was there anything that you got to see at the press conference, Pete? Anything good? Or
First for me, I kind of anticipated it. I still don't know how I feel about it. The new Star Wars Death Star mode. I believe, from what I'm reading, it's the... Because I was going back and forth between this and with the Destiny live stream. For Rise of Iron, so I kind of missed out on this, but it looks like you're going to get an opportunity to pilot X-Wings and A-Wings against TIE Fighters and TIE Interceptors out in space, with the opportunity to eventually, in Phase 2, go into and kind of relive that moment when you're going down the trenches within the Death Star.
Interesting.
That has to be every kid growing up in the 80s dream, right? 80s and 90s, and then I guess eventually, you know, as people grew up. But I mean, that's taking it back to your roots. And if I'm not mistaken, that's part of the whole VR concept where they were trying to push across. I'm not 100%. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it, but it's supposedly three phases, three different objectives. It's called Battle Station, and it's supposed to be coming out later this year. And if I recall correctly, because this was the end part of it, it's free if you already have
the game.
Yeah, so okay. Death Star mode, which is three phases, three different objectives, all surrounding, you know, the big Goliath monolithic Death Star. So I'm kind of intrigued with that, right? I mean, do you think Battlefront has lived up to the expectation or lived up to the hype leading up to that? Do you think this will potentially draw in enough players to try and rekindle the spirit and fire that the game launched with? Because honestly, it's kind of died out. Like, it came in, like, kicked down the doors, waving the 4-4, and then put down the fo-fo. And then just put down the fo-fo and took a nap on the couch, right? Like, it's...
Yeah. I mean, believe it or not, there are still people that plays that game. I stopped a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I think it was cool at the moment. Like,
hype with the movie.
I got to see it early. And in Sweden, I went to DICE Studio and got to see it and everything. That was more of just like, hey, this is what we have before we announce it. Check it out, the trailer and all that stuff, right? And they just wanted feedback. Hey, what do you guys think? Then we finally got the game. I played for like a good month, and then I stopped. I was like, okay, this is cool. I already done everything. I think I'm done. So is this going to take me back to the game? If I have a VR, like a PlayStation VR, I might check it out, but is it something that I'm going to stay there and play like the whole time? I don't think so. But it's cool that they're adding that option. There is going to be a lot of people that are purchasing PlayStation VR, and they have this game on the side. They're digitally, or they have the game disc on the side. They probably will check it out just because they probably don't have that many games for PlayStation VR that they just purchased with the VR. Am I right? I mean, I think they will be like probably curious about it, and they just want to check it out. And as a Star Wars fan, that would be awesome too to check out.
Well, that's the thing. It's the Death Star part of it isn't the VR component. I know with VR, you know, they're going to have their own little dedicated game mode for it. But if I'm not mistaken, the more I think about it now that I'm waking up a little bit more, because we kind of rushed into today's show,
It's been rushed. Sorry, guys.
I was sleeping 30 minutes ago, and I woke up, jumped up off the couch because my phone was exploding with messages.
It's all good.
And I jumped on.
It's all good.
I don't think it's a VR thing. I think the whole VR mode is going to be separate and different from this Death Star mode. So is it enough to rekindle the Battlefront franchise?
Yeah.
No. I don't know. The other thing that I'm kind of looking forward to is a potential for a Mass Effect remaster. Did you hear anything or catch wind of any of that?
Okay. We've been talking about this, I think, a couple episodes ago. I can't remember exactly, but now EA finally is talking like all the fans. They want to remaster games from our past library and everything. Come on. We know behind the scenes they're working on remasters. It will be great for them to release a game like Mass Effect, the trilogy, remastered. There's people out there that still haven't even tried that game at all. You know, this will be a great opportunity for those new gamers. Mm-hmm. This is going to be their first time playing that, you know? So EA has a lot of great games that came out during the Xbox 360 days and PlayStation 3. And also some on PC. There's a lot of classic games, man, that they could easily remaster those and they could make more money and just release it on the current consoles now. You know? So I think they should do it. And I think Mass Effect will be the perfect one to start off with. Perfect. Okay. The only issue that I have is if EA are planning to remaster all these games, probably the servers went down, they took it out, like, let's just say. Remember that the popular post that we had on our website?
Absolutely.
For those who are listening, one of the most popular blog posts that we were posted, it got crazy comments, everybody talked about it. There was a list of games that EA were planning to shut the servers down because it was already too old or maybe not that many people were playing it. So imagine some of those games, this classic, EA decides to remaster those. Are the servers going to go up again or what? That's the question that I have about the oldest, you know? So your thoughts, Pete?
I don't see them bringing up old server instances. I see them, if they've been turned off for any period of time, I just see that if anything as a remaster, a sign of the remasters, right? It's coming back. I don't want to take away any of the excitement from Titanfall 2, from what we saw at Gamescom from EA. What did you think of Battlefield 1? I want to get your opinion because did you get a chance to play it at E3?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Did you?
Yes. I played it. All right. First games. I think it was that Thursday. I think it was the last night or the second to last day in the morning.
My thing is with this, Pete. I think that remember a couple of years ago we actually played not the last Battlefield. Was it Battlefield? There was another one before that, I think. I can't remember exactly. It was during E3. We all got to play. It was all of us, a bunch of us played at the same time. It was cool at the moment. I don't know. I'd rather wait for the full game to come out. I'm just tired of this whole marketing, how they promote the games, having like, you know, athletes and celebrities playing the game. That's not going to influence me to buy the game at all.
Well, to be honest with you, they showed 32 on 32. I saw AC Bongos out there. Jobless Garrett was out there. Cartoons was out there. Ali A was out there. A lot of people from the streaming.
Even people that I know.
My
friends. Darkness was there. Nacho, they're from here, locally from Miami. They were playing, I believe, Titanfall 2 and also Battlefield. I mean, it's awesome. Don't get me wrong. I feel that maybe because I got to play Titanfall 2, I am more excited about that game than Battlefield 1. Once the beta comes out on August 31st, and I tried for the first time, That's going to be my first time playing Battlefield. We'll see. We'll see if that's going to change my mind, if I want to get that game. But as of right now, Titanfall 2 all the way, in my opinion, for me personally. But do you, your thoughts about Battlefield 1, Pete, you got to...
I thoroughly enjoyed it, which was the one of the surprises for me, considering the franchise fatigue of the Battlefield series. I've said it before, and I won't lie. I've been traditionally a more of a campaign fan of the Battlefield series, simply because for some reason the online experience lacked. Like, I could only take it in doses. I couldn't sit there for days and days and hours on end playing the way I did when, like, for example, Titanfall just launched, or like the first year and a half of Destiny or the Call of Duties. For some reason,
that's a lot for you.
Yeah, exactly. But playing playing it that morning at EA Play in LA opened my eyes. And I guess maybe, you know, coming in third place overall kind of helped it, right?
Must be nice. I didn't know that.
Yeah, gave me a false sense of accomplishment and made me look forward to it a little bit more. But I thoroughly enjoyed the way DICE changed the fundamental concept of how Battlefield is played. It's no longer a running ticker of, you know, the ever decreasing number of tickets being disappeared based on performance, if people died, etc. Now people actually have a truer way to determine the way the game is played or how the outcome of the game is going to come out. And it just seems a little bit more in tune to the player versus having some external narrative drive what the game is trying to, you know, deliver from a multiplayer perspective. Mm-hmm. And I'm really digging it. I don't know. I right now I'm going to put them side by side, although I really did enjoy Titanfall 2. But right now, I think going into now this fourth quarter of 2016, where all the big games are starting to come out, I'm almost putting Titanfall 2 and Battlefield 1 on the same level in terms of excitement.
Oof. That's a lot coming from you, dude. That's a strong statement, Pete.
I watched, this is me coming out of E3 saying, oh, Titanfall 2 is the most, anticipated game in my eyes, and I think it was for all of us coming out of E3, but watching both of those gameplay experiences at EA Play, I left wanting more on the Battlefield side. We've said this for a couple of months now. It's a good time to be a gamer, 2016.
Hell yeah.
It's a good time to be a gamer, man, in 2016.
I mean, I'm telling you, man, I'm excited for a lot of games that's coming out this holiday. Like, the summer, I've just been kind of chilled. I haven't played that much games. Like, you know, I'm here and there. But now, end of August, September, oof, I'm going to go all out, man. There's a lot of great games coming out, man. So I'm pumped. Super pumped.
Hell yeah.
Now, my question to you, Pete, that, you know, you played Battlefield 1. Mm-hmm. Previous games, I feel that was just too much was going on. Does it feel like that with this one?
Not really. I don't think so. Simply because the landscape is so much bigger than I think previous iterations of the game.
But that's what I'm saying. Even if it's big, I feel like there was too many things going on that I just didn't know where to go or... What it was just too much, in my opinion. Right,
so the premise.
I just don't know, having a large multiplayer map and more players, I don't know if that's gonna make me wanna go and play this. You know what I'm saying? So, a person that played the previous games, what makes this one different than the previous ones? Because you're excited for this one,
right? Again, in the other Battlefield games, there was this ever persistent clock, right, of tickets. And as that ticket number went from, you know, 1,000 to zero, it, you know, the frenzy pace of the game increased as, as, you know, it, as you started, you know, as your team started, you know, going through its tickets. Now it's more so a focus on capturing one of the, you know, the higher majority of the 6 points throughout the map. So it forces the game to be split up as opposed to one large scale war. It's now six separate conflicts where you want to fight and maintain control over essentially four of the six spots. So that way you gain the advantage and you win. Right. So there's, you'll see it more so as the game progresses in, you know, it depends on how long it takes, but the game sessions that were seen in at the EA Live press conference, it was sometimes the disparity was really, really large, but as the game progressed and spots started getting locked down, you could tell that the focus started to narrow into one or two different spots as that control went back and forth from, you know, four groups to three groups, or control points. So now it's like, okay, now they're controlling B and they're controlling C, and then it starts to shift back and forth, almost kind of like a ping pong match. And you start to see the control number, you know, jumping from 139, 140, 141, 141, and it gets to tie. And actually in one of the instances on the play on the EA Play Experience, it actually tied, which never happens because there's always a controlling factor. You know, okay, these people controlled it. You know, they didn't die as much, or they didn't waste as many tickets throughout the game. Well, this one, they controlled it within the last few minutes so evenly that it actually ended exactly as a tie at 140 on both sides. That rarely happens because you're trying to control two separate points at this point. By the time the game gets in the last few minutes, the focus is typically on one of two different points, and you're just trying to control and start to move your, you know, try to start moving your team over to the other ones to try to maintain control over as much as possible. I don't know. Maybe it's just the micromanager in me, right? And I want control. But, but I really dug it, and I love the excitement that kind of gameplay brings, where, you know, you can be just running on foot. You could jump on a horse. You could beam people. You've got tanks. You've got this behemoth train going through the middle of cities that you can keep going by, which, you know, turns into, you can, you know, you can use your, you can use airplanes now, which, I mean, has always been there, and stay away from Mandy, because if you're a dead man, but you know, and then you've got like, and those are the behemoth machines. You know, you've got the tank or the trains, you've got the dirigibles or zeppelins or blimps, essentially. There's just so many more things that comprise the gameplay within a Battlefield game that brings that kind of excitement out. And I'm just, I don't know if you could tell from my voice, but I'm kind of amped.
Yeah, you sound very amped, man. So, but Pete, let's talk about this now. I know we've been having like a whole long conversation about EA. So shout out to EA, man. But Bungie also had a couple announcements this week.
Yes, sir.
Of the new Destiny. What's it called? Destiny
Rise of Iron.
There you go. So what was like their announcements?
All right, so with Rise of Iron, I guess the one thing everybody's always asking for is more vault space. Apparently this is the most important thing in Destiny, is giving me more vault space to store my crap. The big thing moving from one ecosystem now they're fine tuning, or they're getting rid of the legacy consoles, right? One of the things that was holding them back before was the limitation of having to maintain X amount of space to ensure that the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3s could function. During the last release, they started moving towards, you know, finally stepping away from the last generation and it fully embracing the new generation of consoles. So now with Rise of Iron, it's known there is no more last generation. So now they're going to get much more vault space and storage, private matches in Iron Banner.
That is pretty dope.
That's huge. Simply because, and also there's going to be clan support now. So, 2 years later, it might be a little late. Some people may think, but that's pretty slick. Having those private servers, I think it's going to be really cool, especially for people like me who have enjoyed, playing Destiny. People like Paris and our fans who have jumped on and played. I think it'd be really interesting to maybe have those private matches now that we can line up 6-on-6 or what have you, and have an all out private GTR war, whether it be, website versus website or community versus staff type of events, where now you can, you can control the arena and say, okay, now we're going to have on this map at night, and we're going to have vehicles, or we're not going to have vehicles. I mean, there's a lot of cool things. They're raising the level cap. So, more private or powers, more things. I don't know. Woo, 2016. I'm excited. I don't know if I'm going to have enough time to play all these things. Where am I going to get the time to play all these games?
Man, that's guys. Again, this is a great time to be a gamer. Great time to be a gamer. You can't complain. There's so many games. There's so many options. PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox, and now maybe NX next month too. 2017 is going to be a pretty cool year, man. I think it's going to be a great, great year for gaming in general. So, anything else, Pete, before we wrap it up? I mean, look, there's fan mail, but I would like to save
aren't we supposed to Monday's episode. The Razor winner?
Because we have a...
Wow.
Ooh. You want to do it now? We could do it, Pete. We could do it.
I know. That's the thing. Yeah, we got some
sending emails.
The amount of email. I think I'm going to go ahead and announce it right now. God, there's so many. And, first off, I just want to say thanks to all the fans and all the listeners.
Yes, a lot.
First and foremost, for putting up with our craziness twice a week, but being part of this group, it's
yes,
it's a pleasure and it's a joy to do this. Although sometimes we may be salty, we may be a little off our rockers, but I think it's amazing that we can all it's video games that brings us all together. So. All right. So this one is definitely going to go to God, so many.
It's a lot.
There is. All right. This one is going to go to Michael Ledesma. Congratulations.
Shout out to Michael.
Razor Man of War. I'm going to read out his fan mail. Hi, GTR. I'm a longtime listener from Spokane, Washington. I'm emailing you to tell you my favorite GTR episode that really made me appreciate your guys' podcast. I was listening to this when I was on vacation driving from Spokane to Southern California to visit my family. It was a long drive, especially with a toddler and 6-month-old. They were all sleeping, and I tuned in to episode 577 and 561. I love those specific episodes because they were about how video games brought these three strangers together and was an instant friendship that you never knew was possible. I love this episode because I have friends online, but there's only one who is like a brother to me. We play every day Destiny, cough, cough, and we always have something to talk about. There's never a dull moment. I've known him for a few years now, but have never met. It's weird how you can open up and be vulnerable to someone online who you've never met, but it's comforting at the same time because you share the same interests as that other person. We're so comfortable and have this bond that I do not have with anyone else that I thought about inviting to my wedding in 2018. I can go on and on. I can go on and on about all the memories I've had in video games and all the late nights I've been up and going to work tired, regretting it the next day. Ha. Huh? I hope you guys get to read this email and hopefully put it on your show. You guys are doing an awesome job at making my job better twice a week. Love your show. Keep up the good work.
That was powerful.
Yeah, and
it brings back a lot of memories, man. A lot of memories about a lot of things too. So
one of the reasons why I chose that, like my son, one of his best friends lives in Texas. He's never met him physically. Like they've had Skype chats, you know, and they play whenever they're playing, whether it's League of Legends or Overwatch or whatever. He considers him one of his best friends. One of my best friends I've barely ever met. We've probably played hours. I don't know. There's so many people that I play with online that I've never met but have become close friends. It's amazing, and you know, shout out to Michael for bringing that up. And it's the community concept, and it's, you know, what you had said, and you've mentioned, whether you're talking out at events, podcast movement, or what have you. The community is what drives this show and what we do twice a week with these microphones.
Yep.
And for, you know, to be able to jump into people's lives just for that quick moment, and whether it's to make their long commute to work bearable for that 1 hour, or what have you, it's good to know that we are doing something right, and we're making a good impression, or you know, or just, you know, maybe we're just doing this okay. So Michael, we're going to reach out to you. Congratulations. Obviously I don't have your mailing address, so unless you're willing to drive down to South Florida and pick this up, I'm going to need your address. yeah, but congratulations, you know, especially with a toddler and a 6-month-old. Yeah, you're going to need a pair of headphones to kind of drown out all the crying and screaming. Again, everyone, thank you guys for putting up with us twice a week and listening to us ramble on sometimes. But yeah, hopefully we do, you know, a lot more of these giveaways. Because I want to hear more from the community. This is a lot of fun, especially with Rise of Iron coming up. And I know I'm going to need a lot more people carrying me in on PS4. So maybe we do.
Yeah, you got. What's your PSN?
The Yak 43.
There you go. The Yak 43. Make sure to add Pete, so you guys can play Destiny and other PlayStation games. It doesn't have to be only Destiny. You know, right now you're going to be playing Titanfall 2, right, on PlayStation 4. Whatever you want to call it, technical tests, beta, demo, I don't know. Just play with Pete and all that stuff, man. And that's cool. We had multiple giveaways, not only the headphones, but we also gave out a lot of codes so you guys could play Titanfall 2 early instead of waiting all the way to Friday. So download it, enjoy it, have fun, and thank you for supporting Gamertag Radio. All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes and send in your feedback, questions, comments. Send to GTR. Call us 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. Or fanmail at gamertagradio.com or go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. All right, so before we wrap it up, very quick, I would like to say this. One of our listeners hit us up. I think his name is Carlo. Not 100% sure, but I remember he hit me up yesterday and he mentioned that there's a brand new Xbox One app called Cast. If you get the chance, download this app. This is an app where you can listen to podcasts while playing Xbox One games. So you could be online or whatever. It will play in the background. So it's called Cast. Now, if you do have the new dashboard update for premium members out there, you could have this app on and you could play Gamertag Radio when you subscribe to there. And you could have it in the background while you're playing your games. So this is like another opportunity for you to listen to Gamertag Radio. It doesn't matter where in the world, download this. It's called Cast. C-A-S-T. It's totally free. All right? And that's it. Pete, anything else?
I think that's it. Purple crayon!
Purple crayon. Oh, my God. By the way, I forgot to mention this. Call of Duty XP 2016. We're going to be there from September 2nd all the way through the 4th. We're going to be posting a lot of content from there. So make sure to tune into Gamertag Radio. And it's going to be just extra, extra content for you listeners besides the whole two episodes that's coming out that week. Then the final week, PlayStation is going to have a major, major press conference. And we're planning to record that. That's going to be on September 7th. Most likely, we're going to release that that audio on September 8th, the next day. So tune in. There's going to be a lot of great content that's coming out for GTR. And the holiday season, this is it. Enjoy your summer, because let me tell you, September, a lot of content for you guys. And that's about it. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.